Thank you, Mr. Whitlark. Good afternoon, everybody. Sorry, I didn't give you time to say that. Good afternoon. All right. I interrupted you. Well, I would like to say hi to my wife. She just started not feeling good right before, actually on the way to church. We went to pick up Ellie, and then she just started feeling bad, so she drove home. So, hey, babe. Hope you are feeling better. The world that we live in nowadays is a really interesting place. And I know it's something we talk about all the time. We talk about how there are killings all the time. And we talk about how there's abuses, there's deaths, there's politics, there's fightings, there's confusions, there's sadness, there's abuses of power, and there's a lot. Like, there's just a lot. And it can get to us at times. And I know for me at times, like, I don't even like talking about it, which, you know, I'm doing right now, but it's part of the message. But I mean, like, talking about it sometimes, I just get tired of it. It kind of wears me out. I get tired of the negativity. I get tired of worrying about these things. I get tired of worrying about this in my life. And it just makes life stressful at times. It gets to you. It wears down on you. And I know that we all feel like that. So I want to turn to a book of the Bible at the beginning here that we can get some inspiration and some encouragement from. So if you can turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. We're going to start in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and we're going to look in verse 2 here. And this is where we're going to be spending most of the time today, is in Ecclesiastes. So, verse 2 of chapter 1 says, "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit had a man for his labor when he takes under the sun? One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abideth forever. The sun rises, the sun goes down, and hastes to the place where he arose. The wind goes towards the south, turneth about unto the north, it whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again. All the rivers run into the sea, yea, the sea is never full. Unto the place whence the rivers come, hither they return again. All things are full of labor, man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there are no new things under the sun." It's inspiring, right? It's like encouraging and something exciting. Well, it's not. This is what life feels like, right? This is what life feels like. Like, we just kind of do the same things over and over again, and at times it feels like maybe it doesn't matter. You know, maybe we think, like, what is the point? You know, this talks about the rivers constantly going to the seas, but they never fill up. It just keeps happening. These things keep happening over and over in our life. And what's the point? Like, what do we do with that? I remember when I was younger, I used to think, like, I was kind of cool because I thought I was kind of like a punk kid. And I thought, you know, I was fighting the system a little bit. But absolutely not. Like, there was people doing that way before me, and I absolutely did nothing with that. And this is what human life is like. This is what human life is like apart from God. This is how we feel when we are apart from God and apart from that hope that God does give to us. And that is what I want to talk about today. I would like to talk about the hope that we know that God gives us, but specifically, I want to talk about it concerning the holy days, these fall holy days that we have coming up for us, and how we ourselves try to find our own happiness. But it really doesn't work. And the Bible shows that, and we know it through our own experiences. So what do we have coming up? We got the fall holy days. This is like a super exciting time. I know my kids get super excited. I get super excited even for atonement. I remember as a kid not being so excited for atonement. But nowadays, knowing the plan a little bit better, I get excited about that too. And it's this ray of light that we have in our lives. I mean, I know we feel that. When the spring holidays come or when the fall holidays come, we get excited and we hear this chatter in church and we talk about it and we talk about where are you going and what are you going to do? And it's just an exciting time, and it gives us some hope. And it gives us something that we can look forward to. This is what life is like when we are close to God and when we abide with him. Without God, we have Ecclesiastes. With God, we have Ecclesiastes. But we have some hope with Ecclesiastes as well. Each year we hear messages how we need to prepare for the holy days, right? We know we need to make ourselves ready so they don't sneak up on us, so that we are prepared for preparing our offerings, preparing ourselves spiritually so that we can come to the holy days in a worthy manner, you know, to come before God and come before God's eyes and make sure that is something that is pleasing in God's eyes when we do come towards these holy days. And we need to make sure we understand what the holy days picture. All of these things are good. All of these things are super important. But today I would like to talk just a little bit more about how we can use the holy days as this ray of hope. To really hold on to that, to think about that feeling that you get, that happy feeling or that excited feeling or that hopeful feeling when we have these holy days, and that joy that we get in this understanding that there's a purpose in life, that there's a reason for all this stuff. All this stuff that I talked about at the beginning where it just seems, and like they talked about in Ecclesiastes, like what's the point? There is a reason, and we know this because of God's plan and because he has given it to us. There is a reason. There is an ending to all of this that is going to be absolutely, unapologetically, indisputable, irrefutable, categorically, positively, unquestionably, completely, 100% awesome. And we know this because God has shared it, and it's exciting, and it's a thing we need to hold on to. It's an excitement that we need to keep with us. Everyone is going to get to know God's plan at some point. That's a wonderful part of God's plan. But we get to know right now. That should make us want to say, like, yippee! Like a kid that is excited about something or a kid that's like getting a gift. We should want to say, yippee! That is what our mind should be thinking, that excitement. We should have that because of these holy days. This is how we should feel when we are close to God. And this is how we can feel when we are close to God. But we don't feel like this all the time, do we? We don't. We feel it at times, and then it goes away, and then we don't feel that, and then we feel the sadness again, and we feel the hopelessness again. I think the book of Ecclesiastes is such a good example of how we to try to find our own happiness. How we to try to find our own happiness as humans. We know, or it seems that the book of Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon. And if it was written by Solomon, we know about Solomon, right? We know about his wisdom, we know about Solomon's riches. And it seems like he may be looking back on his life here and kind of taking stock of what has been happening in his life. And it seems, reading through this book, that there were kind of five tests that Solomon put himself through to try to find happiness outside of God. Five tests that I'm going to go through here quickly that I think we can all relate to. And we can all see that we do the same exact things. And in the end, he says many, many times, if you've read through Ecclesiastes, that it was all meaningless and that it was all worthless. So experiment number one was in Ecclesiastes 1, verse 13. I'm going to be kind of referencing these scriptures, so you can just write them down if you would like. But it says that in Ecclesiastes 1, 13, that he went out and he searched for wisdom. This was his first thing that he wanted to do. He said, I'm going to find wisdom. I'm going to go with the smartest people. I'm going to learn as much as I can. And it's like many of us, we think if we can get that doctorate, if we can get whatever it is, these are good things. These are not bad things, but we put so much hope on that. And we put so much on that that we think when we get there, that's going to bring us happiness. But it says in verse 14 there, he says it's all vanity again. He said it's all meaningless, that by itself. Just trying to find that wisdom. Experiment number two he found was trying to find pleasure. And that's starting in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 1. And there he says, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove my mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, that is also vanity. So what he tried to do, he did all things that were pleasurable, all things he talks about in this chapter. He talks about wine, and he talks about laughter, and he talks about foolish behavior, and all the things that we think that are going to make us happy, right? Hanging out, doing these things with our friends, having fun with our friends, drinking, you know, all of these things that, once again, are not bad inherently, but we try to put too much hope into that's going to what really is going to make us happy. And we can see at the end of verse 1 there, he said, it's vanity. It's meaningless just doing these things by ourselves. All right, so that didn't work. So experiment number 3 that he tried was doing it in his work. In Ecclesiastes 2, 4 through 6, it talks about how he had all these many works where he built these houses and he built these vineyards. He made gardens, he made reservoirs. I mean, he made everything that he could possibly make. He just made it to the splendor and this excitement all around him. And we do this as well, I know. We do this a lot of the times, either through our own jobs, trying to get that next job, or through our own possessions. And this one is a kind of a big one. Like, I know that when I lost my job before, that was a really big deal. And I think it was such a big deal because I placed so much hope in that job because I liked it so much and I enjoyed it so much that when I lost that, it was kind of like earth-shattering. But it helped me to realize a little bit that maybe I was placing too much in that. Instead of placing that in God and just being thankful for that job, I placed everything in that. I almost placed most of my joy within that job. And that's something that I think we can do too often. And something that Solomon was trying to do. But once again, he said it was meaningless. He said that it was vanity. And experiment number four is trying to find happiness and wealth. In Ecclesiastes 2:8, he says he got silver, he got gold, he got presents or treasures from many different kings. And looking online, I found this website that talked about the richest people, you know, ever existed. And they tried to guess like how much they made because they said in the Bible, you know, how many pounds of gold and stuff that he had. They said that he probably had about $2 trillion. Like, what? That's a lot of money. Like, if anything could buy you happiness, it's $2 trillion. Like, I feel like I could buy happiness with $2 trillion. But he says he doesn't. Like, he said that it was all vanity, and he said that it was all meaningless. And this one he especially touches on in Ecclesiastes 5:10 through 13. He talks about people that have more money, they're actually never satisfied with the amount of money they have, that more people come around and want to take the money from you or help you spend that money. Verse 12, that you worry so much about losing that money when you have so much of it. And then number 13, you're more tempted to be greedy with this money. So once again, he tried this experiment. Get money, said that it was worthless. In experiment number 5, the last one, was trying to find happiness in women or relationships. And this is in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 8. And I know we think about this a lot, and especially maybe before we are married and stuff, that we think if we can just get that right relationship, if we can get that one relationship, then things are going to be better. And we put so much trust in that. And we put so much hope inside of that. And relationships are wonderful. Like, my relationship with my wife is the best thing. And it's, you know, God-given to me. But that's not above God, though. It's not. And I can't put my hope that it is. And I think we do that at times. And we know Solomon. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines, which I know people have talked about this. Like, I don't understand. I cannot fathom what is happening, like, in these relationships. I mean, I can fathom, but I don't understand what is happening there. But he had the ultimate science experiment. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines, and he still said, nope, it wasn't enough. It wasn't good enough. I could not find lasting happiness inside of this. And this is what is happening in our world right now. People are trying to get these things, right? People are trying to get these things. This is our human nature. This is humans outside of God. This is what we try to get. And we see that this is taking over the world, and it is causing so many problems in our world that we talked about at the beginning, this despair that we feel. And it's taking this world over, and I think it's pretty clear that without God, we cannot find this true happiness. And if you turn over to Ecclesiastes 12, we're very familiar with this verse, but Ecclesiastes chapter 12, in verse 13, so after all of this, after all these experiments, after pretty much trying anything humanly possible that you can, wisdom, money, women, buying things, taking things, doing whatever it is that you can that we think is going to make us happy, he says, let us hear the conclusion. All right, this is what I got. This is you writing a science experiment. This is the conclusion at the very end. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Oh, it's like, it's almost frustrating because it's too simple. Like, I want some more answers out of that, but it is simple. And it's laid out to us over and over in the Bible that this is a simple answer, that we have to be close to God, that we have to follow God, and that we have to keep God's commandments if we really do want that true happiness. Knowing this plan, knowing that we have a future in God, that God is really in charge, do you know where that puts us compared to so many other people in this world? We are so far ahead with this hope that we have, and it's not because of us, absolutely, that we had nothing to do with getting this knowledge. But thankfully, because of God and because of God blessing us with this knowledge, it gives us this joy. It's this joy that we really should hold on to. that God has put into us. And we shouldn't take that lightly. We have to make sure that we do stay close to God. We need to make sure that we stay close to God so that we can have this true joy. And the Bible speaks of ways of staying close to God, you know, keeping his commandments, following his laws, keeping his word. But stay close to him. And you know what that is. You know what that is for you. You know that feeling when you are close to God, that love that you feel. And you know that feeling when you're not, that feeling that you're lost. And that's a feeling that we have felt many times in our life. So going back to the holidays, we know that we need to prepare for the holidays. They are coming up very, very quickly. Feast of Trumpets is just around the corner. But if you are feeling a little overwhelmed in life right now, things are going on, if you're having problems, or if you just turn the TV on and you're like, ugh, I don't want to see this anymore. This is very tiresome to me. And if you think things are just falling down around you, make part of your preparedness for the holy day study, knowing that God's plan gives us such wonderful joy. And hold on to that. Hold on to that joy. Take advantage of knowing that truth. Take advantage of that joy that he gives us. And take advantage of this time of year that we're in. On these holy days, like this Sabbath, we can take 24 hours and we can absolutely not think anything about Satan's world that we're in right now. We don't have to think a lick about it. We can just think about God. We can think about his words. We can see our fellow brothers and sisters here in church and try to make these holy days as memorable as you possibly can. Try to make them so memorable that you have this feeling and it carries you to the next holy day or it carries you to the next Sabbath. So you can just feel this and let this carry you on through the rest of your days. The only true way for us to have real hope, the only true way for us to feel that true future, a hope that is going to stay with us, is being close to God. And that's that hope that's going to make us want to say, yippee!